Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the 903. How's everybody doing? I'm deep into Southern baking mode. Yes, it's crazy at my house. Let's all stand as we're able. Take a nice deep breath, a big old autumn one. Here we go. Let it out. No coughing. One more, nice and deep. And out. Our first song this morning is Almost High. Turn off the tuner. That's bad.
Found the keys when I began to pray. another, wearing angel wings and glory above. I found my way to the wellspring at the altar. I will be drenched in God's abiding love. I have come back.
I think there was some not channeling our inner Baptist there, but maybe channeling a little of our inner Okie.
I'm good with
that. I don't know. No offense to Oklahoma or anything. But I'm going to hand you this so you can please sign in. We do want to know that you are here with us this morning, and several announcements for you. Tis the season for announcements and things happening in the church. You'll always want to take your bulletin, stick it on your fridge, learn what's happening, and get involved. If you ever see something there that you wish you knew more about, ask me and I will find the person with the answers, because I probably won't have them. But there's a lot of things coming up. Next Sunday after church is Hanging of the Greens, so I hope you'll stick or come back if you go. See, you all are lucky, aren't you? You can either go to Sunday school or you can go to brunch and then come back and help us decorate the church next week. If you go out to brunch, don't eat too much, because there will be a lunch after the 11:30 service to help do that. We also have one spot left where we need someone to help us light the wreaths. I better check my notes here. So if you want to help do that, there's a sign up, I believe, in the narthex. Chris? No. Put up the outside lights at 3 o'clock here at the church.
The last nice day we have.
Oh, we'll have more, but it might be the last nice day before December. So, yes, come help Ken hang lights at 3 o'clock. Win or lose? Yeah. We can celebrate together at 3 o'clock, or we can mourn together. Yes, misery loves company, and many hands make light. Oh, that's really, many hands make light work in your hanging lights. So, yes. Thank you, Ed. I thought Ed was asleep back there. What else? The 8th of December is caroling after church, and we're going to have soup lunch and then go caroling at Boulder Manor and Fraser Meadows, and then back to church for cookies. Oh, yeah. It sounds like December is going to be an expanding month. Get to expand cookies. Wake up, Ed, back there. Go. One other thing I want to let you know, some of you have received a ballot for voting to become a reconciling congregation, and I've had this comment made to me several times now. Well, there are more than one person in my church is a member, and you, or in my house is a member, and you only sent us one ballot. Yes, because it's really tricky when you're doing a mass mailing to figure out who gets how many. So what I would ask you is you can make a copy, or you can have more than one person can vote on the ballot, as long as you make it really clear and everybody who signs it, or who everybody who votes signs, so you can say 2 for, 2 against, and everybody put their name on there. So yes, we only sent you one, and I'm sorry if that caused confusion. There is a box out in the narthex if you have brought it early, and you need to have it into the church by noon on December 22nd. Joanne, you have a lot to tell us.
Well,
let me get you a microphone. Wait, wait. It's up here, I think.
Can you hear me?
Nope.
It's a very generous church, and this time of year, there's a lot of opportunity for generosity. And I want to start out with the family-to-family, because Vicki Kaplan is out there right now, and the procedure on that is you fill out a form, and then you buy gift cards, and I'm not completely sure of the process, but that's $25 gift cards, and they go to either Walmart or Target. So she's out there right now. And then beginning next Sunday, we want you to bring your toys for sure. And we on December 13th, so that means there's only two Sundays to bring in all those toys, new and used, and if you have any bikes, let me know. We can get those picked up. Then, of course, the Advent Market is coming up on the December 8th. All those wonderful things, I can hardly wait. I do a lot of my shopping on the Sunday the 8th, and then Mozart's stocking. We have our missionary, Mozart Adavu, in Africa. He's been our missionary. This is a gift for him up over and above the support we give him as a missionary. So those are the four big ones, but keep that all in your thoughts as you plan your Christmas generosity.
Thank you. I think that's all the announcements. Like I said, there are a lot in your bulletin. And if you have questions about what Joanne brought to you, she'll be available floating around after church. Let's take a moment to greet one another. Tell someone you're so glad they're here this morning.
I'm going to keep my cough to myself, but I love you all.
Good morning. As we gather back from our prayer time, our visiting time, whatever that time was, we need to get like a cowbell up there.
We could start singing our fun song.
We could, but let's just come together. We're good. We could. You're right. We could do that too. We come to a time where we continue our fellowship by sharing in our prayer joys and concerns. What joys or concerns do you bring this morning?
Oh, gosh.
Yes, Rebecca.
I have joy.
Yay.
Have joy.
Share.
Good. No, yes.
Yes, you are.
Awesome. As you know, my daughter-in-law is having her second grandchild. We found out the sex of the baby Friday night. It's a girl.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Is she feeling better?
She is feeling marginally better, yes.
Good. Anyone else? Mary Beth. Michael, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Michael, who, from our congregation, is talking about the Colorado Trail, both his experience hiking it, and I also understand the difficulty facing that trail project itself. So at 10:30, you're invited to go down to Fraser and hear his discussion on that issue. Richard. 35th anniversary for the Dairy Berries. Congratulations and blessings on the years ahead. That's wonderful. Anything else? Yesterday it was the circuit conference, and they have reduced it so much that I would tell you that the business really was minimal. Nothing earth-shaking happened at all. Would you, those of you who were there, we approved my salary, thank you. We aren't removing any members, so we didn't have that, and we're delaying talking about people's committee commitments. So it was a lovely time of communion, we'll go with that, and food, and good. So that happened. Just keep you abreast of what's going on. I think that's all then. Any other prayers? Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come this morning celebrating anniversaries and news of new grandchildren arriving. And we celebrate those in our midst who come to share of their life story with us. We come celebrating just the fact that it's a beautiful day. A time to come together on this Thanksgiving Day. We come giving thanks, praising you, stopping and looking around the world, finding those places that give us joy, looking for places to be grateful and places to share our gratitude and to live out from that place. We come this beautiful morning. We come with some concerns deep in our hearts, but feeling the joy of being together in this place. Bless our time to you. Bless our praises, that they would be pleasing to your ears. Bless all who gather in this place. We come this morning to sing praises, to remember the gift that you gave us in your Son, as we offer the prayer he gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And our third song this morning, as the plate goes around, is Amazing Grace.
My chains are gone.
Oh, Amazing Grace / My Chains Are Gone.
Grace that taught my heart to fear.
God, my Savior, ransom me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love. Amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God who called me here
That was amazing. Thank you, Rebecca. We all appreciate the energy and wonderful music you brought to this service for years, and it's really special. It's a gift. So we all appreciate that very, very much. Our scripture today is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and it's in your Bible on page 854. And I always kind of like to think about a scripture in the context it comes in. Sometimes we hear a scripture and we don't know what really was going on at that time. So briefly, what was going on at this point in time, Jesus told his disciples that he will fulfill his prophecy by being rejected, put to death, and then resurrected. Our Lord's ultimate goal of going up to Jerusalem to die. And Jericho is on the road to Jerusalem, and that's where Jesus healed a blind man. This was another proof that he was the Messiah. And surely the word of the healing of the blind man spread quickly so that the crowds began to gather as Jesus passed through the city of Jericho. So he's going into Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. And the scripture begins, he entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man there named Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing this story with us. I was impressed that you could just tell the story without singing it. Do some of you know that song about Zacchaeus was a wee little man? I see people making gestures and humming along in their brains. Many of us grew up singing that song as a child, and I think we lose a little something when we do that, but it's a powerful song and something fun to do. And you didn't even say come down or any of those gestures. I was impressed that you could do that in that way. The story of Zacchaeus is the end of our series on gratitude, looking at the book by Diana Butler Bath. And if you haven't had a chance to read it but are interested, I'm pretty sure that many people will have it floating around this church soon, because a lot of different groups have been studying it. So you might just put out a word, and I bet one will find its way to you. But it's been an interesting study, an interesting read. Today is Thanksgiving Sunday as well, which is why we've been looking at gratitude to end on this day, the day where we celebrate Thanksgiving, because next Sunday we will already be in Advent. It's quick this year. One of the things about coming to this time of Advent is knowing that today is the last Sunday of the liturgical year. One of the things that I've often done at the end of the calendar year is to look back, to understand all that has happened in my life in the year that has gone before. And so today, serving as that liturgical year and thinking about gratitude, I have something I want you all to do. It's kind of a quiz, but not really. I would ask you if you can find around you, and I noticed there's been a couple put on these chairs, a pen, a pencil, or if you make notes on your computer, whatever you've got, your phone in your pocket, whatever that might be to do that, just a way to make a note. Because many of you are really good and will remember this 15 minutes from now, but some of you won't. Is my mic dropping in and out? It sounds to me it's coming in and out, but as long as you all are good, that's good. So everybody ready to record some way? Here, have a paper. This is what I want you to do, and don't start writing yet because this is detailed. I want you to write down three things from the past year that you are grateful for, but not just three general things. For one, like we always all say, oh, I'm thankful for my family. Of course, or mostly, or whatever. But don't write that. Write something like, I'm thankful that my cousin just met the 5-year mark of being free of breast cancer. So something specific, or a particular family member, or so if you talk about family. Of course, you're thankful for your house, but what about it are you thankful for? Or that we had good rain, or whatever it may be, but something specific, not just a general topic. So write those down. Take a minute or two to come up with the three things you're thankful for over this past year. You can be thankful for more than three, of course, but let's just try to get three down. And you are going to have to turn this in. You don't have to share it with anyone. Those of you whose spouse wants you to share, if you don't want to, you don't have to. You can, but you don't have to. You might need a little more time, and that's okay. You can continue to work on those as I move forward with the sermon. Save that list because you're going to need it much later on. But look at that list and think about it. Those are things that you are grateful for. So we've been talking about gratitude and how does Zacchaeus fit in. Just like last week, this is a fun story for children, isn't it? It's a story that as children you can learn something from, and that's fine. But as grown-ups, we have to take those stories a little further and understand them more deeply. For children, the story is about a man who was a wee little man, and he wanted to see Jesus, but we also know he was a bad man. He did bad things. And when you're a child, you don't really understand what bad things he did. You just go with that because you imagine for yourself. So he was a bad man, and he climbs up, and Jesus calls him out of the whole crowd and tells him to come down. And so children learn that even when you were mean to your sister the week before, Jesus still loves you and will come and be in your house. And that isn't a deep message, but isn't that really the whole story right there? You're forgiven. You're loved no matter what you've done. And as children, we need to know that we are loved no matter what. unconditional love. Some children have it, some don't. And to know and hear that story, it's fun and wonderful and helps children start to know what Jesus can be in their lives. Now, most children, when they get to the part about the crowd grumbling because Jesus is eating with a sinner, they don't get all that, and that's fine. They don't have to. It's a beginning place for them, a place to understand that Jesus loves them. And if we can teach our children that Jesus loves them, we, church, have done a good job. Because later in their lives, they're going to need to remember that. They're going to need that foundation, that spiritual memory of Jesus loves them before they start to look at this story at a deeper level. So we'll do that here in a sec, but I want you to remember Jesus loves even you, even you. And as adults, we forget that sometimes because we get into deep theological conversations and debates. But remember, Jesus loved you. It's pretty simple, and it's wonderful to know that. That God's grace abounds in your life is a more grown-up way maybe to say it, but Jesus loves you. So remember that. Just remember that as we move forward. Now let's go back to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a bad man, and we knew that. We've known that since we were children, those of us who knew the song. But Zacchaeus was really bad. He was a person who lived in the Roman Empire and had made it up the ladder. Because he was a tax collector, not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. And not one way out somewhere in a little town. He was the chief tax collector in Jericho, which was a big city in those days. He had made it, even though he was part of the Roman Empire. Some of you have studied the Roman Empire and understand what an oppressive system that was. So if you were making it there, that was pretty good. You're moving your way up that ladder, up that pyramid. So we could be happy for Zacchaeus, but we don't think he probably got there in an honest way, do we? Because otherwise he wouldn't be bad. So how did he get there? What happened? Well, the only way to become a tax collector in the Roman Empire was to pay your way in, to pay a fee to get to be the tax collector. So we know that Zacchaeus had paid his way into this position of power. Then his job was to go around and collect money from people and then take it to the Roman government and then get a check mark. But you also had to make a living, and we don't begrudge anyone making a living. But the way it worked was, say Ed owes the government 35 denarii. 35. And I come to you and I say, Ed, give me 50. And you do, because if you don't, it's never going to get up there. So I take it and I give the government 35, pocketing 15. I think that's the math. I've just made $15 or denarius or whatever unit of money we're using. Cool and good for me. And that's how Zacchaeus worked in the world. Paid his way in to get a job where he could take advantage of his friends, his family, his neighbors. Maybe not friends anymore. But he collected money at a higher rate so that he could make a living. And it was common. Was it corrupt? Probably. Definitely. But it's the way the world worked. Doesn't make it right, but that's what it was. And then over years, he kept collecting extra money from Ed, and then he threw in Richard and got some more from him, too. And then he said, oh, Sue, she'll never get it. I'll get more from her as well. And you get the idea. And he collected this lot of money, and he went back to the Roman government, and he said, I want more. I want to be in charge. I want to be in charge, so here's some more money. I'll collect extra for you. I want to be in charge of this whole region. And he became the chief tax collector. And so then he could skim off of all kinds of people who were collecting money, and then he was over them, and wow, we think the IRS has trouble sometimes. But that's the way it worked. If you do something for me, I'll do something for you. And back and forth that way, as we would climb up together. So that's why Zacchaeus was bad. He took advantage of all of those around him to line his own pockets. But Jesus was coming, and he'd heard about Jesus, and he wanted to see. He wanted to see who Jesus was that day. And it was busy and crowded. If I told you all that at 3:45 to get past the light hanging, Jesus was going to walk down Baseline Road, how many of you would want to go? Most of us would want to see Jesus, and we would rush down there. But there would always be those people who got out of church sooner, who didn't have something else to do, and they're the ones with the blankets on the curb. So we can't get close enough to see. But we remember that big sign there at those condominiums on the corner and decide to climb up there so we can see better. So don't say things bad about Zacchaeus. Don't judge Zacchaeus for climbing up the tree. He just wanted to see through the crowd. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you're the last one to the parade, you need to do something so you can be tall enough to see. So he climbs up the tree. Here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus, and Jesus spots him and says, "Come down. Come out of the tree." What do you think Zacchaeus felt like in that moment? What did Zacchaeus feel like? Do you think he thought, cool, Jesus wants to see me? I'd like to think that's what I thought. Jesus wants to come and hang out at my house and be excited by that. Although I might have thought, did we do the dishes today? Did we dust recently? Is the house okay? But I'd like to think I'd be so amazed that Jesus picked me out of that whole giant crowd in Boulder. He picked me to come visit. And then I'd just be excited and glad. Is that what Zacchaeus felt? Excitement that Jesus picked him? Or was he terrified? And I think terrified is probably closer to what I would feel if I really stopped and thought about it. Not because of the condition of my house, because of the condition of my soul. And for Zacchaeus, that must have been a real fear. Because he's been cheating people, stealing from people, and now Jesus wants to have a heart-to-heart with him. Oh, my. But we understand from the story that Zacchaeus does come down. And he says, "I'll make it right. I'll do everything I can. I'll pay people back. Fourfold, even. I'll do whatever you need me to do to make it okay, Jesus." And the crowd doesn't like it. "What do you mean you're going to have dinner with him? We don't like him. Pick us." But Zacchaeus comes down. I don't know if I could or not. Would you be able to come down and sit with Jesus if you knew you had done something wrong? Would you be able to come out of your tree, off the sign, from that higher elevated position? I don't know. I've been struggling with that these last few days as I think about the story. But Zacchaeus knew, and he came down. What did he know? Did you hear what Fred read for you? Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham. He was a Jew. He was a person of faith. Now, he wasn't acting like that as he lived his life, but one of the things that Diana Butler Bass says is that his spiritual memory made him whole. He remembered. He remembered who he was, who God had made him to be. He remembered what he learned as a child, what he had read in Scripture. He remembered, and he knew. And that gave him great strength. And he could come down and face Jesus. And do you have that spiritual memory to make you strong and make you whole? It could go back to when you were a child, seeing Zacchaeus was a wee little man and you remember Jesus loves you. It could go back to something that was said to you last week, or something that you read, or a scripture that you studied, or a prayer you offered. Do you have a spiritual memory of who you truly are, of who you belong to? Zacchaeus remembered he was a son of Abraham, a child of God, and decided he'd better start acting like it, finding strength in the ability to act like it. Have any of you ever made a mistake? You don't have to show your hands or tell anyone. Have you ever made a mistake in your life? I know you have. All of you have been around this sun more than once or twice, and you've made a mistake. Have you ever made a mistake in your career? Have you ever made a mistake in a personal relationship? Have you ever wanted to hide away or climb a tree so nobody could find you? Have you ever done that? Have you ever made a mistake because you were addicted to alcohol or drugs or some other thing that caused you to live in the world in a different way? It's okay. Those mistakes are okay because they're forgiven. And Jesus says, remember and come down. A good friend of mine just shared with me that today, actually, is her 36th anniversary of sobriety. 36 years. She said over the years it's gotten easier and easier, but she never forgets. She never forgets that moment 36 years ago yesterday, before she started this path to sobriety, when she knew she couldn't. She couldn't go on. She couldn't continue to treat people like she had. She couldn't continue in a professional, very highly professional career drinking. She couldn't go on anymore, and she didn't know where to turn. Oh, she'd heard about AA. She knew people who had gotten out of that rut, out of that habit, but she didn't know what to do. And then she said it hit her. Her spiritual memory kicked in. She'd gone to Sunday school. She remembered that God loved Zacchaeus and God loved her. And she said, I just offered a prayer. Pull me out of this pit, God. Save me. And she said, and the next day, I began. I began the walk that so far has lasted 36 years. She said, I needed something beyond me and my spiritual memory. I remembered. And I could do it, not alone, but because of God. And some of you may be familiar with the 12-step AA program or other programs like that. Admit to a higher being. Why? Because you can't do it yourself. Us here in this place would claim that higher being to be God. It could be any. What is it? What is your spiritual memory? What will God do in your life when you remember? Will you come down out of the tree? We don't know what demons the people in our pews are struggling with. We don't know what each other have faced. We don't know what we're facing in this moment. But we know that God's grace will prevail. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago that grace and gratitude have the same Greek word, same Greek root. God's grace pouring over us, reminding us that we are his children in those difficult and hard times, should lead us to gratitude. That's what my friend said. I will always give thanks to God for my sobriety every day. Every day. When we remember that that's available for each of us, we too can reach for that strength and be made whole. Come down out of the tree like Zacchaeus did and have Jesus celebrate us. As one who was lost but now is found. One who says, yes, God, I am your child. We can't do anything to earn that grace. It's always there. But we can accept it and offer gratitude. Now, Zacchaeus said he's going to make things right and do what was good in the world. Bass talks in her book a lot about how this plays out in the political world. Because remember, Zacchaeus was living in a political time. We always are, aren't we? Wherever there are people around. And if he stopped and said, I don't want to do things so someone will do it for me back, I just want to put good in the world, that'll make a difference. So out of his gratitude, he said, I will give everybody back. I'm going to give Ed his 15, and I'm going to give Richard everything back, including four times over if I owe it to them. It makes a difference. In the political world today, there's a lot of that that happens. I'll sponsor your bill if you'll sponsor mine. I'll sign on to that. I don't really believe it, but that's okay because I need you to help me over here. And that happens in the political world no matter what party, no matter who's in charge or not. It happens in Zacchaeus' time, and it happens in our time. It happens in lots of places in the business world. It happens, I've heard, in academia. Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Where does gratitude come into that? Gratitude then enters in because I did something for you, so you should be grateful and do something for me. That system has been with us since the beginning, and it continues. And she says it shouldn't be that way. I should do something because it brings good to the world. And as I practice gratitude more and more in my own life, how do I start to live that out? Some of you said, you aren't going to talk about politics in church, are you? It says in the bulletin. Well, kind of, because I just did a little bit. I'll never tell you who to vote for. Never. Even if you come quietly to my office and say, who should I vote for? I won't do that. It's not my job. I'll tell you to vote because that is our job, all of us. We should all vote. It's part of our civic responsibility, and as Christians, we should take that seriously. And I won't tell you which political party I think is better than the other, even though some of you think you know what I think. I'll never do that. It's not my job. It's not what I should be about. But in the political world, we as Christians need to stand up and use our voice, particularly as Christians who are thinkers, who understand what's happening in the world, who can see things with a Christian lens, with an educated one, with a Christian lens, but one that cares about this world. We should stand up and make a difference. Why do I think the church is political sometimes? Well, there's this guy named Jesus, who was political a lot. He was political a lot. If you don't believe me, just read that story. He said things like, feed the hungry. That gets political. He said things like, the poor will be with you always. That's political. Now, I don't know the best way to feed the hungry. I don't know the best way to deal with people who live in poverty. I don't know the best way to deal with people who experience homelessness. But I do know that the church needs to raise their voice and care. Because it's our job. Because Jesus did it. Can we make a difference? Of course we can. So sometimes I may say things that sound political. And sometimes we might join in a conversation that sounds political. That's what we were taught to do by that story. Even this story of Zacchaeus. Why? Because we are people who have so much. We have God's grace. We belong to God. That's exciting stuff. And God says, when you are my child, live your life like my son, who tackled tough issues all the time. If we decide to stay away from tough issues because the church shouldn't do that, we're losing our voice, church. We're letting someone else represent what the church or what God would say and do, and that's not what we're called to be about. Has God done something in your life for which you're grateful? Then what do you do with that gratitude? How do you make a difference? And that's the point of her book, is we need to use the gratitude we have to make a difference. Not to climb up some ladder, not to say, you help me and I'll help you, but to put good in this world just for the sake of putting good in the world. Will we be political sometimes because of that? Probably. Probably. But we are to do that. And I love what she described. Instead of a pyramid trying to climb to the top, she talked about circles and dropping a pebble into water and seeing those circles spreading out. And if each one of us drops good into this earth and our ripples all cross each other and create a beautiful and amazing web almost of good for the sake of good. It'll make a difference in this world, won't it? It'll make a huge difference, and that's what I think we're to be about. You know that gratitude list I asked you to write down? Those three things? Remember them in your mind. Refresh your mind either by looking at them or just pulling them back up. You got them? You remember what you wrote down? Your Thanksgiving homework. A lot of you have some days off coming up. Your Thanksgiving homework is to take those three that you wrote down and do something about it. Not to say, oh, I'm thankful or I'm grateful. But for me, maybe to celebrate with my cousin. What if I drop her just a note? I celebrate who you are and all you are in my life, and I am so grateful that you are cancer-free. Will that make a difference for her? It'd make me happy to receive a note like that. What are you grateful for, but how are you going to act upon that? If you wrote something down about your house and you're grateful, is there a way you can share that or make a difference for someone who doesn't have that? Whatever you wrote down, think of a way to act upon it this week in the days ahead. We are people who are encouraged, who our spiritual memory reminds us to be grateful people, to make a difference, to act out of our gratitude, to let the world know that God's grace abounds, to say we can make a difference because of that. I wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving, a great time of sharing and enjoying and remembering, of resting, of traveling, of whatever your week may hold. I wish you the best Thanksgiving you can have. And in the midst of that time, I encourage you to be grateful and not to just sit back and say, I'm thankful and I'm grateful and here's my list, but to act out of that place of gratitude, to truly make a difference in our world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, be with us as we give thanks this week, as we give thanks to you for all we have, but particularly as we remember that we are your children, that you sent your Son in this world to make a difference, to show us how to do the same. We remember as we give thanks. Amen.
I always will belong in the plan you have for me.
do my part when I can be the arms that reach to welcome home. So let me serve each all that you deserve. Carry out your loving will. So
go from this place knowing that you are a beloved child of God. Let your spiritual memories bring you home. Amen.
Before we close with, we're blessed to say that we often don't really tell you where some of these songs come from, but the one you just heard was written by Richard and Rebecca over 20 years ago. It was the very first praise song that they ever wrote together.
Thank you. Let's all stand and sing We Are Blessed.
Let us praise God with our voices. Let us sing unto the Lord. He is right.
Amazing Thanksgiving, everybody.